For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. A Salvation Army shelter needs your help. A Virginia State fraternity gets caught hazing. The governor vetoes shelter restrictions. And a JMU pair introduce fresh produce to families. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, May 1st, 2019. The Daily News Record reports that the Harrisonburg Salvation Army needs costly repairs this year, and that's affecting the programs it can offer. Development Director Ashley Gordon Becker says the 90-year-old shelter needs a new roof and flooring and updates to the plumbing and bathrooms. She says the flooring and roof will cost at least $250,000. The last Red Kettle campaign raised $186,000, but it takes $350,000 annually to operate the shelter, which is open every day of the year. Gordon Becker said she sees between 320 and 350 people a year using the food pantry, along with 30 to 40 people each night using the homeless shelter, and the need increases each year. She said one upcoming program will require $10,000 to send kids to Camp Happyland, which the nonprofit has done for more than 20 years. She said shelter employees always hope grants will come through, but the growing number of nonprofit organizations lowers the donations for everyone. She has faith that community support will prevent the shelter from closing for lack of funding, and is hopeful that at least $15,000 will be raised at the Christmas in July event, which will take place from June 29th to July 6th. Three Virginia State University fraternity members are accused of hurting 10 students who were being hazed on Sunday. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports three Kappa Alpha Psi members are each charged with 10 counts of hazing so as to cause bodily harm. The university says it has suspended the Alpha Phi chapter of the fraternity and the students pending the outcome of their criminal cases. VSU says eight other students involved in the hazing have been referred to the school's Office of Judicial Affairs for discipline over student conduct violations. Petersburg police declined to detail the hazing, but said it happened in a dead-end area of Pocahontas Island. The island is near the Appomattox River, in which two students drowned during a fraternity initiation in 2013. Governor Ralph Northam has vetoed legislation that would allow officials to temporarily block convicted sex offenders from using emergency shelters. The Daily News Record reports that the legislation would have allowed shelter officials to deny entrance for convicted sex offenders to, quote, ensure the safety of other individuals at the shelter. Northam called it unconscionable that people could be turned away from shelters during hurricanes, flash floods, or other emergencies. He said he's directing state officials and encouraging local officials to formulate plans on how to best shelter everyone during emergencies. Democrats in Congress are resisting a White House directive on racial disparities in student discipline. And as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, a Virginia congressman is leading the charge.
Congressman Bobby Scott is using his position as chairman of the Education and Labor Committee to fight back against the Trump administration, which is eliminating Obama-era guidance to limit racial disparities in school discipline.
The guidance showed how you could reduce those disparities without jeopardizing school safety. As the White House and courts continue to push us in the wrong direction, Congress cannot sit on the sidelines. The stakes are too high.
Daniel Lowson at the California-based Center for Civil Rights Remedies points out that Richmond has some of the highest racial disparities in the country. Black students in Richmond lose 446 more days than white students, according to a report his center recently released.
Where we have the kinds of vague minor offenses that are very subjectively determined, we tend to see implicit racial bias play a much larger role in whose behavior is identified as being problems in the first place.
Lowson says the Trump administration's decision to eliminate the guidance on racial disparities was based on an unsubstantiated fear of quotas and a discredited study. Scott says schools need some way to address clear evidence that black students receive harsher treatment than their classmates. I'm Michael Pope.
And finally today, two JMU seniors have spent over a year working on a project to help introduce families to fresh produce that has been unfamiliar to them in the past. WMRA's Bridget Manley reports.
So this is the recipe?
They taste different.
It's a warm spring evening in a neighborhood in downtown Harrisonburg. The Gus Bus, a beloved mobile literacy program that serves children around the city, has pulled in and opened the doors to the kids and families waiting. They've brought along the Good Food Truck, a mobile pantry of the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank.
This is so cool.
On the Gus Bus, the instructors are providing story time, activities, and book checkouts for the kids, while outside the bus, families are tasting samples and picking out fresh produce to cook at home. This program, called the Neighborhood Produce Market, was started 3 years ago to provide fresh fruit and vegetables to families in need. It's a partnership between the Gus Bus, JMU, and the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Jolynn Bartley is the Assistant Director of Children and Youth Services for the Gus Bus. She says that the neighborhood market was an idea born out of a program to provide backpacks full of food to send home with children on the weekends. They started to hear that families, especially refugees and immigrants, were used to cooking with fresh produce, and they wanted to start providing it to families in need over the summer months.
Interacting with families, with our staff, was basically communicating that fresh food was a very much a part of a lot of the cultural diets of families that we work with, and something that they were accustomed to in their home country, something that they really enjoyed cooking with, and that wasn't really something we were providing for them, and they weren't always able to have as easy access to a resource like that.
Eileen Emerson is the Partner Services Coordinator for Child Nutrition Programs at the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. She says that the neighborhood market now serves over 250 families a month. One small problem popped up over the last 3 years. They noticed that certain fruits and vegetables weren't being taken and found that most didn't know what they were or how to incorporate them into their cooking. Enter two JMU dietetic students, Lexi LaPecha and Kat Kraft. The seniors went to work creating a new program, offering samples and recipes for produce that was often left sitting there.
We are so lucky to have a partnership with JMU like we do. Kat and Lexi, who are the two students who started this program as their senior thesis and senior project, really went above and beyond in terms of researching what are the best ways to communicate with families, what are the skills that people really need to know, what types of vegetables or fruits do people not really know what to do with. I mean, we did evaluations last year, and 65% of our clients said they had tried new produce because of coming to the markets, and I attribute a lot of that to the work that our dietetic students did.
Jennifer Walsh is an assistant professor of dietetics and undergraduate program director at JMU. She says that LaPecha and Kraft dived into the project and for over a year figured out what foods were not being taken. They experimented with samples and recipes to hand out at neighborhood markets and dealt with issues such as food safety.
This is really, to me, a high-level project that they both have taken incredible leadership on. There's something to be said also about their work to facilitate, to bring around the stakeholders, to have them kind of drive this process, and so that we do have a much more viable outcome that is hopefully more valuable to the community.
LaPecha says that they didn't realize there might be a language barrier they'd have to overcome.
In broadcasting our samples, for example, we could be like, oh, like try our samples, and sometimes they may not understand. They may think that they want to pay for it. So, I mean, we've definitely tried to create less of a language barrier by providing recipes that are in different languages. So we have Spanish, English, and Arabic right now.
Kraft says that they hope their work continues to help people find new ways of cooking fresh produce long after they graduate.
That's their main goal. I mean, our professor is actually going to be doing some more research on this in the upcoming year, and I think like it'll definitely grow and expand. That's what I foresee anyway, and so do the Gus Bus and the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank staff as well. So we're really excited about it.
Emerson notes that their hard work has made the program a success, but also says the Gus Bus is what brings people out to the market.
We could not have this program without the Gus Bus and the relationship that they had already built with these families. The reason families are willing to come out to the markets is because the Gus Bus has created an environment that is respectful and fun and compassionate, and they know that if the Gus Bus says it's okay, then it really is okay.
Reporting for WMRA, I'm Bridget Manley.
To learn more and to see pictures of the Gus Bus, visit WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.